Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today, joining me on the show is Dr. Sherry Denham Keffer. She's a doctor of marriage and family therapy and author of Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, and the founder of the Brave One Community, a safe, faith-based space for women recovering from betrayal trauma. Dr. Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Zach, thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Sherry, you know, you really do bring such a wealth of knowledge and experience to this conversation. More than 25 years, come on, that's crazy, of work in the marriage and family therapy space, trauma recovery, spiritual healing. For those of you who might be maybe new or aren't as familiar with your line of work, I'd love for you just to give us a better understanding and acquaint our listeners and our audience members and just with what the professional experience and journey has been like for you personally, but also what really was it that called you into this heavy, but very meaningful line of work?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those situations when you kind of work backwards. This is not a line of work I ever wanted to be in, to be honest. It's it came out of my own heartbreak. But, you know, usually when you're a sexually betrayed partner, you don't want to share it publicly. You actually pull in. Because of your own shame, carried shame that goes along with that. But my story started with being a pastor's wife, and my former husband, Connor, sexually betrayed me in our relationships. We were serving in the church, and you would have thought, you know, when you saw us, that there was nothing going on in our marriage. And a lot of couples are like that. No one really knows the heartache, the pain, the leprosy that's going on within your relationship because of the sexual acting out. But Connor acted out through pornography, multiple affairs, prostitutes, and all that was going on right under my nose. And I was heartbroken. I just, you know, trying to serve in ministry. My former degree was in Bible and theology. And so I wanted to be in ministry full time. I just didn't realize that I was stepping into somebody who had already been struggling with a sex addiction. And I think honestly, in Connor's mind, I honestly think that he thought that he was going to marry me and that somehow our relationship, our sexuality, our connection together would get him on a better track. And the hooks of the lust, the hooks of the sexual acting out, you know, it just had him gripped. In fact, you know, back in the day when I wanted to share this because I think about hooks, when ancient Hebrew was written, much like hieroglyphics, the word for lust is ava, which means the strong nail that hooks you to itself. Now, in contrast to a derivative of that, which is kave, which is actually the word for hope, which means what comes after the nail. So you open this show today by saying, can you have hope? And I'm here to say, yes, you can. But it doesn't come without a price tag. It doesn't come without hard work. It doesn't come without cost. It doesn't come without impact. But it is possible to have redemption in your life, personally, in your relationship. Whether you stay or not, I see redemption on both sides. So hang on, because there are things that can be done to help you get unhooked and to help the coupleship get unhooked from the sexual deception that's, you know, killing the relationship like a python.
Dr. Sherian, you know, you mentioned that there's so many different types, so many different forms, and it's heartbreaking because there's so many different things that are pulling couples apart from one another and creating this losing at love, if you might, if you want to say it that way. And so just recognizing all the different variables, but then at the same time, knowing that you're continuing to walk alongside of countless people through deep pain, through deep trauma, when things like this begin to infect their marriages, infect their relationships. And I'd love to hear, what have you began to notice that's different or distinct about sexual betrayal than the other emotional or relational wounds that can be created throughout marriage? Because there's a lot of conflict that comes with marriage, but there's something distinct and different when sexual betrayal gets talked about in the mix of this thing.
Yeah, there, I think some of the most difficult things that couples contend with when somebody has betrayed them in any type of the ways that I've just mentioned to you is there's not only a breach of trust, there's a series, many, many lies, gaslighting. And when I say lies, Zach, I'm not talking about a lie of omission, which is a lie. I'm choosing not to tell you what's going on. That's definitely betrayal. But what's really confusing is there's bullface lies. There are lies where that the one who's being betrayed, her intuition or his intuition, because betrayal goes in both categories, right? There are women who betray and there are men who betray. But just for the sake of our conversation, so they're picking up on something's going on. And they will go to that person and ask them, did you, you know, I found this text message. Were you talking to a woman at work after 10 at night? Because I looked at it. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I found this on your phone. Oh, that's just basically somebody that I had to check in with for the office because we have a presentation tomorrow. Bullfaced lies. There's times where people will lie and they will be crying, saying, no, I am so sorry. And the significant other will be saying, is there anything else? And they will swear on Bibles. They will say, I on so-and-so's grave, I am not lying. And then I do these things that I'm trained to do through ITAP, the International Institute of Trauma and Addiction Professionals, where we have been trained to do something called a therapeutic full disclosure that has a polygraph attached to it. Now, that polygraph, Zach, is like a come to Jesus. It is an extra step in helping that person who's been betraying come clean, come into truth, because as Jesus says, the truth will set you free. And it helps that significant other that's been betrayed begin to trust something, because they haven't been able to trust the one who's betrayed because there's the integrity disorder and there's psychological abuse with the gaslighting and blame shifting. And so their intuition has been eroded. And so that polygraph, that therapeutic full disclosure, sometimes there's follow-ups that are done a year or two later. I just had one recently and he had been working really hard and there was a great report. So guess what? She was now looking at him like, I can finally start to trust you. I have been so undergirded by the sexual acts you've done, but also by the lies that are there that make someone question the essence of who that person was that they've chosen to be with. And so that's where some of the deep, deep repair happens, because they start to trust themselves. They start to trust that person again. And I'm sad that the polygraph becomes one of their friends, but it's to help get them out of the disillusionment of disclosures, trickle disclosures, or disclosures that have not been full. There have been disclosures that have been partial, hoping that their spouse will forgive what they have shared. But then that person that's been sexually acting out doesn't get clean. They don't come into full truth. So there's this hidden shame that's still in them that continues to churn inside of them, and it keeps them bound. And the enemy just, you know, has a heyday with that. So I just love seeing couples come into truth. And many of the spouses, you know, it's over 90% in the work that I do, even with these tools, the spouses stay. They're just wanting, even with horrid things that have happened. Honestly, they want truth, and they want safety through sobriety, and it can happen.
It can indeed. Dr. Sherry, it's interesting that you mentioned that verse that the truth can set you free, and the truth will set you free, because as you mentioned, lies are the native language of the enemy, and he wants nothing more than for us to continue to live in those lies. But when truth is established, that's where we can begin to build on the sturdy foundation of trust. And without trust, there is no relationship at the end of the day, because then you just don't even know what's true to begin with. And you mentioned pornography earlier, and you mentioned all the different vices, all the different forms of sexual betrayal. And I want to touch on that for just a moment, because we are seeing, as Jim Kress and some of our other friends would identify as a porndemic in America, especially since COVID, when there were the lockdowns and the loneliness and people found themselves inside on their devices more. I mean, there was an influx in pornography rates. And with that, I can only imagine the influx there was in sexual betrayal. And you serving in the front lines, I'd love to hear just your thoughts on what you've seen because of the influx in pornography, in terms of how, yes, that is still a form of sexual betrayal, because at the end of the day, and this is now me just talking off the cuff here, it's not just you sleeping with another woman or another man. It is when you are emotionally connected, you're putting someone else in the place of your spouse, your loved one. That is where automatically we begin to cross the line. Speak to, just again, not just the influx, but the challenges that pornography rates are continuing to bring in your field.
Let me start by just quoting somebody that we all know, love and respect. Let me quote Jesus for a second. Because in Matthew 28, he said this. And honestly, I think this is an under-preached verse. But he talked about the fact if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, they have already committed adultery. Now, I think that makes us shudder in our boots, because I'm not, you know, guys are like, oh my goodness, hello, you know, and there's stimulation all over. And I feel for people who are visually stimulated to the point, and I say people now, because both men and women are struggling with pornography. Almost the amount of women that are struggling with pornography is picking up speed at a crazy level, that they're feeling bound by it. So what was Jesus really saying in that? When I think about it, I'm not talking about noticing, observing, seeing, right? And figuring out what you're gonna do with that. Let's use porn, because porn is a no-brainer, right? I honestly think that if I was sitting with Jesus right now, right? You and I, Zach, and Jesus was on the conversation, and we were saying, Jesus, what are you talking about? I honestly think he'd say, well, let's take a look at pornography. Because pornography is choosing to click and look and lust and act out and masturbate and all of that. It is a choice to go into that place of lust. And that is damaging on their hearts, on their souls, but also it creates damage in their significant other. And you say, might say, well, how can you say that? Well, this is a chart that I created. It's called the Traumatic Relational Nature of Pornography Chart, okay? And in here, Zach, I talk about the impact to spiritual health, to their faith health, you know, relationship with God, impact to their identity, impact to their love and relationship. This is just porn. Impact to their personal health, impact to their sexuality and how they are sexually with their partner, and impact, there's emotional injury and psychological abuse. Now, this is porn alone. This is in, there's a book called The Healing Church, What the Church Gets Wrong About Porn and How to Fix It. It's by Sam Black, who is educational director at Covenant Eyes. But I wrote that in a chapter in his book, And if, you know, if you wanted to check it out, or I have it on my website, but porn harms people. I hate porn. And I am very bold. I have other people that think I'm crazy because I hate porn. But pornography that is used non-consenting, where somebody doesn't know you're using it. And I would even say, Zach, even consenting porn. I have people that started using pornography in their marriage to try to, you know, spruce things up. And I'm telling you, basically over 3, 5, 10 years, that spouse is like, I don't really like it anymore. You know why? Because she's realizing that she's not the object of his affection anymore, realizing that her body is changing. She's starting to compete with the images. Now the couple is realizing they can't even have intimate intercourse or have orgasms without the pornography. I mean, it does a number on our sexuality and our soul. And so I think what Jesus was talking about here, and the reason that he said this is adultery, it's because it's adultery of the heart. There is something that begins to strip away the very essence of how he created us as two people that are of divine beauty and glory that are meant to connect together, that is heinously compromised when pornography is in the mix. There's a friend of mine, love her. Her name is Lori Hall, and she wrote a book, Affair of the Mind. And I don't know anyone who's done a better job with pornography and writing biblically as to what that does and why she can call her book An Affair of the Mind, because I think she's got the heart of Jesus when she's trying to communicate what Jesus was trying to say. It's damaging.
It's very damaging. And Dr. Sherry, I think it's interesting that you brought up how at the end of the day, at the heart of infidelity, it's an emotional issue. But I also would say in the healing aspects of intimacy is an emotional issue as well. It's being able to get to the heart of the matter and recognizing that love isn't about what somebody can offer me. Love is about loving someone for who God has made them to be and who they naturally are and their true identity as a man or as a woman. And so getting back to the heart of things, and really that's where the healing journey begins. Again, sex is not a goal, it's a byproduct. When there's emotional safety and security within a marriage, right, that is when we can actually engage in the act that God created for good reasons within his bounds. I hate to say it, but these issues and challenges, they're not going anywhere. As AI and technology advancements continue to move in that direction, we're going to continue to see more and more of this. And so we need to be trained and equipped to meet the needs of the current stage of culture, but also those that sit across from us, whether it's an individual that's struggling with an addiction, whether it's somebody that has been impacted and wounded by somebody else's addiction. We need this training now more than ever. And I think that's where I want to go next for a moment, Dr. Sherry, is just a word to, you mentioned you sit down with both the offender and the offended. And I'm just thinking about somebody who is listening to the conversation today, who is feeling a conviction in their heart that they recognize that they're living that double life, that they are doing things behind closed doors, that they're lying about in open spaces, maybe even with their spouse. And I'm just thinking, what are some practical next steps for that person today to go and get the help, the hope, and the healing that is possible to them as well?
Yeah, well, first off, I want to say I'm really proud of you for even pausing enough to hearing what I'm saying right now. And I'm proud of you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is for you. The Holy Spirit wants you free. Jesus wants you out of the bondage, especially as you continue to serve and care for those. You know, as helping professionals, there's a good portion of us that are also hooked by this. How do I know this? Because of the research that's been done and how many clergy and pastors struggle. From my own story, Zach, with Connor, you know, we were struggling this in our marriage while we were in ministry. And you know, I think what kept us out of care for so long is that for helping professionals, and clergy in particular, where do you go to start doing your work? Because like with us, when it came out, we were dismissed from our job, from our profession. And sadly, the whole bottom of our world fell out. And, you know, at that time, what was going on is that the staff pulled away. I don't think they really knew what to do with us. There wasn't as many helps as there are now. That's the truth. But, you know, it's kind of like Connor and I walked away like leprosy. And so that's why I say to you, thank you for being open and, you know, looking for somebody who is an expert in the field, like a certified sex addiction therapist, a CSAT, looking within our AACC community for those of us that do this, either through programs where you have empowered the coaches and the pastors and therapists and counselors, getting with somebody who you can safely begin to open up that chasm and begin to do the work, I am confident that the Lord will walk your healing out with you. And very possibly, you might be a wounded healer on the other end that is going to have even a larger impact or larger ministry. I mean, look what's happened to me. When this happened, Zach, I thought I would never share this story. Again, it's not what I wanted to talk about. When I shared it with New Life on the radio, and it was a pastor's wife who called in, and I was like, hey, this is Sherry. I don't know if you know this, but my story is that this happened to me too. And, you know, Steve Arterburn and I think Mylene Yerkovich were with me, and they looked at me and they were like, we didn't know it was your story. And I'm like, I know. I don't talk about it because as a therapist, no one would want to come to me. Wrong answer. Like the Lord made that moment become fish and loaves. And so there is people out there in droves that need us. And so if you're a helping professional, get your help. Make yourself a priority and start to do the healing so that you can work in integrity and not feel compromised every day that you're on the front line working with others. It's a really good feeling to be able to work honestly with integrity at some point, and that is there for the taking for you.
Yes, indeed. And as you mentioned, healing is a journey. It's a process. It's not instantaneous. It doesn't happen in the snap of a finger. But day by day, morning by morning, moment by moment, decision by decision, healing is possible. Dr. Sherry, I know that there might be somebody out there listening today who's wondering, well, does Dr. Sherry offer any in-person services or maybe even telehealth services? I don't know what your caseload looks like, but what would your answer be to that, ma'am?
Yeah, I love face-to-face therapy. So yes, I do. I see clients, individuals, and couples in my practice. I do have people ask me if I do cross state lines, and actually the state of California is kind of particular about that. So I am not able to do it out of state, but that's where my Brave One community comes in, where I have lots of partners spend time with me there. And I also have my Bravery After Betrayal, It Takes Fear Strength Intensives, which are 4 days with betrayed partners to help them heal.
I just, again, wanted to encourage all of our listeners, make sure you go to braveone.com where you can find out more information that Dr. Sherry just mentioned. This has been Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thank you so much for joining me. Dr. Sherry, my friend, again, on behalf of all of us here, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, thank you for your time and your willingness to continue to do what God has called you to do. Thank you for your time and joining us today.
Hey, Zach, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors, for your Mental Health Minute. Do you remember the day maybe the light went out inside? The moment that everything changed? When someone broke your spirit, shut you down? I hear it all the time. I hate him for what he did. I hate her for what she said. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to let that go. To build a bridge over it, let the healing begin. Because holding it inside, harboring unforgiveness, it's like drinking your own poison. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. Hear me. Let it go. Forgiveness only takes one person. And no, that doesn't erase what they did. Reconciliation, that's a whole different story. But for now, let it go. Let life come back into your heart. Give forgiveness a try. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to AACC.net.